Good morning, City Light. How are we doing? Hey, wasn't that scripture reader super cute? I'm just saying, she's hot. Anyways, how City Light? As Tyler said, my name is Alex. I'm the director of the high school ministry here. And if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to turn to John chapter 13. That's where we're going to be today. And while you're doing that, I want to kind of share a story with you about a movie I got to watch even just last weekend called The Revenant. Okay, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, but it's a pretty awesome action movie. It has some really big name stars, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hardy, and it takes place in the kind of 1800s in the North Dakota wilderness. And everyone in the movie has these kind of giant beards. They look super tough. They're these outdoorsy, woodsy, just really, really cool looking dudes. And we actually have a picture of some of the cast members here. There's one of them. It's awesome. Listen, guys, Tyler showed me this picture last week. And so like my whole entire goal this morning was to figure out a way to show you guys this picture of JD. That was my whole goal. So like, I feel like regardless of how the rest of this talk goes, this was a win for me. So, JD, I love you. Please don't fire me. Anyways, if you haven't seen The Revenant, I actually am going somewhere kind of with this illustration. Leonardo DiCaprio's character is this guy by the name of Hugh Glass. Okay, and he is this kind of outdoorsy hunter tracker, kind of extraordinaire. And his job was to take this party of English hunters into this Indian territory and help them capture food and then bring it back safely. And so just spoiler alert, that does not happen. Things go really bad. Actually, Hugh Glass, while he's in the wilderness, gets mauled by a bear. And he's basically, from that point, like on his deathbed. For the rest of the movie, and there comes this one scene where things are looking really bad, where he has a fever. He's just been mauled by this bear, and he turns over to his son, who's kind of right at this deathbed next to him, and they share this really intimate moment. And you can tell that there's all these things that Hugh wants to say to his son, only he can't because of the injuries that he sustained from this bear. They've left him unable to talk. And as I'm sitting there watching this movie in this moment, I started thinking, man, how frustrating would that be to have my son right there, the person who I love kind of most around me and in kind of my final hours on earth, and not be able to share with them the thing that's on my heart. And I started to think, okay, if I was in Glass's shoes, what would I want to tell my son if I knew I only had a few hours left on this earth? If I was on my deathbed, if I was surrounded by the people who were closest to me, and I knew, hey, there's not much time left. I've only got one or maybe two more hours with you. What would I want to say? Now, church, I start off this way because this is precisely the situation in which we will find our Lord Jesus this morning. He's about to sit down with his disciples, knowing that he only has a few precious hours left before he will be taken to the cross, beaten, betrayed, and crucified. And Jesus is going to have one final lesson that he wants to teach his disciples. He's going to have one final thing that he wants to tell his friends in church. We would do well to pay attention to this lesson that Jesus is going to teach his disciples and us. Because if it was not important, if it was not an absolute life and death situation, he would have never wasted his time talking about it. Now, this is our ninth and final week in this series that we've just been calling Formation. Yeah, we've been walking through this series kind of on sanctification. We've been asking the question, okay, how does God change and transform us into godly men and women? How does God use different things to transform us into the image of his son so that we can reflect the heart of Christ to a city? And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the spiritual disciplines, and we've been saying, okay, this is how God does it. This is how he uses things to transform us into the image of his son. And last week, JD preached about the inward disciplines of fasting and prayer and meditation on scripture. And for this final week in our series, I want to talk about the outward discipline of serving. I want to preach a message called A Serving Church. And today I want to look at the last lesson that Jesus taught his disciples before he was crucified. And the main point, the only thing that I think we need to get out of this passage, the main thing that we need to get out of this passage today, I have it printed there on your bulletins, is this: that Christ's service for us fuels our service for others. Let me say that one more time. Christ's service for us fuels our service for others. Or if we want to personalize this, Christ's service for me fuels my service for you. It's the one thing I want us to kind of take out of our time together. And so I'm gonna pray for us. Pray for me one more time, and then we're just gonna hop into John chapter 13. Jesus, would you speak through me? Would you speak to our people, God? And would we understand how your service for us affects our service for others? How it is the fuel by which we serve other people? Jesus, would you speak through me today? In your holy name I pray, amen. So John chapter 13, starting in verse 1, I'm gonna read it for us, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. It says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come," right? He knows he's going to the cross. "And he had to depart out of this world to go and be with the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during the supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, set aside his outer garments, taking up a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. And then and wipe his feet with the towel that was wrapped around them." So a little bit of context here. You know, Jesus knows, obviously, that his time has come, that he is about to die. And he has all the people who are closest with him in this room gathered around him for a very important last meal. And now, in the Middle East at that time, it was customary that when you entered a house, the owner of the house would provide a bowl for you to wash your feet with and a slave to actually do it for you. But for some reason, this night, that doesn't happen. So Jesus and his disciples are eating, and everyone is very aware that no one has washed anyone's feet. And they all know that someone has to do it, right? Someone has to get down and wash some nasty, crusty, bunion-y, rusty old feet. You know, that's how my wife describes my feet. I think they're cute, but she doesn't like them. Jesus, being very aware that this entire thing is happening, right, that there's this discussion of, okay, who's going to do it? Who's going to wash each other's feet? Uses this moment to teach his followers the last very important lesson. He teaches them this. He shows by example. He comes up from the dinner table, verse 4. He says he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking his towel, tied it around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And he wiped them with the towel that was around him. So Jesus gets up and does the job of the lowest servant in the entire house. Jesus gets up and through his actions gives us this incredible illustration of what he has done for each and every one of us on a cosmic, eternal scale. Verse 4 says this, that he rose from supper, right? He rose from this place of rest, just like he got up off of his heavenly throne and stepped into our dark world. It says that he laid aside his garments, verse 4, just like he would lay aside his glory when he was born in a manger. Philippians 2 says that he emptied himself and became a servant. Okay, verse 4 says that he took this towel and wrapped it around his waist, because the towel is the tool of a servant, and the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And verse 5 says this, that he poured water into a basin, ready to clean his disciples' feet, just like how in a few hours he would pour out his blood on the cross to cleanse us from our eternal sin. Jesus uses what he does here as a cosmic and eternal illustration. Everything he's done for us, he puts on display right here. And everything is going really, really well until we get to my boy Peter, right? Verse 6, right? He comes to Peter after he's washed kind of everyone's feet, and he comes to Peter, and Peter says to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And now, I love Peter, okay? I love this man because he gives me hope, all right? Like this guy, he walked with Jesus for years and years and years and never understood quite what he was trying to do. You know, time after time in the Gospels, Peter just doesn't get it. And I'm sure, okay, at this point, he's been walking with Jesus for 3 years, and he's thinking, I got this one. I know what Jesus is trying to teach us, right? Jesus is the Son of God, right? You don't let the Son of God wash your feet. I'm sure this is what he's trying to tell us, right? These other guys are idiots. They don't get it. Watch, Jesus, I'm going to make you so proud of me. No, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. The Son of God doesn't wash anyone's feet. Boom, nailed it. Hashtag winning. I'm sure this is what he's thinking. The Son of God doesn't wash anyone's feet. But see, look how Jesus responds to him. He doesn't say, "Yeah, man, you nailed it. High five, Peter." All right? He says this. He says, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. If I don't wash you, you don't belong to me." And if I was Peter, I would be so confused. You know, what are you talking about, Jesus? If you don't wash me, I have no part with you. Why do you say weird things like that? You know, I'm just trying to give you the respect that you deserve. You're the Son of God. You shouldn't have to wash my feet. And see, Jesus, what Peter doesn't understand is that Jesus is giving us a cosmic illustration. An illustration that's going to stick with Peter for the rest of his life. He actually writes about this in some of his letters. And Jesus is going to use these last few hours, right, this cosmic illustration to burn into the hearts and the minds of his disciples the essence of the gospel, okay? And that is this. The essence of the gospel is not that I need to clean myself up in order to get to God, but it's that God has stepped out and come to me. He stepped into this dirty world to clean me up. He did for me what I could never do for myself, which was to remove the dirt and shame of sin from beneath my toes. He stepped into this dirty, disgusting world and washed me. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Listen, if I don't wash you, you have no part from me. You're too dirty. If I don't wash you, you won't belong to me." And he says, you won't ever be able to do this on your own. It's the reason why I came to this world. It's what I came here to do. And I don't know where you guys find yourself this morning. Like Tyler said, we have a lot of new faces here. And I don't know how badly you think you've messed up or how dirty you think you are. But I want you to know that what Jesus is offering you this morning is a clean slate. He is offering to clean you. That's why he came to this earth. He didn't come down here to give you another set of rules to follow or to put a finger in your chest and tell you how badly you screwed your life up. We know that already. Right? He came down here to clean us, to reconcile us back to himself. And that is available to you today simply by faith, by repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. So Jesus says all of this to Peter, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And it looks like the light bulb goes off for Peter. It looks like Peter has this aha moment. Because in verse 9, he responds like this. He says, "Well then, Lord, not only my feet, but also wash my hands and my head." In verse 10, Jesus says to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And Peter, you are clean, but not every one of you." See, Peter finally understands this lesson that Jesus was trying to teach him. He gets it. He understands that he has to be washed by Jesus, and then he gets a little overexcited, right? He's like, "Okay, well then wash everything. Wash my head, wash my hands." And Jesus is saying, "Okay, no, I don't need to do all that. Okay, just your feet. That's cool. I love the enthusiasm, but, you know, that all I need to do is wash your feet." And Peter's like, "Okay, I got it," right? And he says, "You are clean." And then Jesus drops this really kind of ominous line in verse 10. He says, "But not every one of you. Not every one of you are clean." And we read in the first couple of verses, right, that Judas was with them, the one who was going to betray him. And the thing that is scary about this and that is really man, just kind of confusing about this is that he looked like the other followers, right? Like Judas looked like the other disciples. He walked with them. He did what they did. He went with Jesus kind of wherever he went all throughout the city. And he may have that night been washed physically by Jesus, but he had not been washed spiritually by Jesus. He knew all the right things to say. He was in the room, but there was nothing. There was no new birth that happened on a spiritual level. And guys, and I think this has some implications for us. You know, I think there's probably some of us in this room that have been washed maybe on the outside by Jesus, that maybe we look like we are followers of him. We maybe join a city group or have some Christian friends or come to church on a semi-regular basis, but there hasn't been a washing that has happened inwardly. There hasn't been a new birth by Jesus, and we're just playing kind of these religious games. And man, if that's you this morning, if that's where you're at, if you would say, man, I really don't know Jesus. I don't know that I have been washed by him. The same invitation is available to you. You can be. You can be. If you would humble yourself, if you would repent and believe and trust in Jesus, he would wash you. He would wash your sins and keep you connected to him. So let's keep going. Verse 12 says this. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done." So now Jesus is saying, okay, so I've served you. So now you're to go and serve others. I've done for you what you could not do for yourself. So I'm gonna charge you to do the same for others. He's saying, listen, I'm the God of the universe, and I have served you in an incredibly ridiculous fashion. I've lowered myself and done the job of the lowest servant in the house. And not only that, that's just a metaphor for what I'm about to do in a couple hours. I'm going to go to the cross and serve you in ways that are unthinkable and do for you what you could never, ever do for yourself. I'm going to wash all your sins away. I'm greater than you, yet I'm going to use my greatness to serve you. And I'm calling you to do the same, guys. This is where our big idea comes from. And it's that Christ's service for us fuels our service for others. It's because of what Jesus has done for me that I am free and full to serve for other people, right? Like, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, I'm looking at that, I'm going, that is insane. No way. The God of the universe would serve me in that way. He would come down into this planet and pay the price for my sins and wash me? Yo, how can I not serve my brothers and sisters? How can I not go out of my way to serve you? See, Christ's service for us fuels our service for others. And see, that's the opposite of our mindset on a regular basis, right? That's the opposite of what Peter's mindset was at the beginning of all of this, right? I'm sure Peter was thinking, listen, if I'm the Messiah, right, if I had this authority, there's no way I'm serving anyone. Right? There's no way I'm washing people's feet. They're going to pick the dirt out of my toes. You know, I'm not doing that for anyone else. But see, that's not how Jesus wants his followers to interact with each other. That's not what he commands us to do. He says it a different way here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. I'm just going to read it to you. He says, "You know that the rulers of this world lord over their people, and their officials flaunt their authority over those who are under them. But among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become a slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." He's saying, listen, I know how the world operates. I know what they're saying, but my people are going to be different. My people are going to use their power, their authority, their giftings, their gifts to serve others. And I'm going to give them the ability to do it too. I'm going to come down here, I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to give them the most incredible example of service ever. I'm going to die for them so that Christ's service for us fuels our service for others. So I have to ask us this question, just kind of in light of what we're all talking about and what Tyler talked about this morning. And it's just this, are you serving? Are you serving people? How do you use your influence? How do you use the authority and power that God has given you? How do you use it in the workplace? Right? Like some of you guys are high-level business people, and do you use your authority and your power to serve the people who are under you, or do you kind of lord your position over them, thinking they need to serve you? Do we use our power to put commands and lord over people, or do we go underneath people and lift them up? How do you use the power and authority that God has given you? Fathers, in your homes, how do you use the position and authority that God has given you in your house? Do you use that to try to intimidate and be served? Or are you saying, man, I want to serve my family. I want to pour myself out for my wife and for my kids. High school athletes. Right? I'm a high school pastor. I got to talk to the high school kids in the room, right? Do you use your influence, your authority on a football field, your talents and your abilities to serve your teammates that aren't as talented as you? Or do you hop right in with the bullying, with the beatdowns? And lastly, just, you know, girls. Girls who have been gifted, who are pretty and popular. You know, do you use your popularity as a way to love and serve the people who are under you? To love and serve the girls that the rest of the world would not find valuable? Do you do that? Because that's what we have been called to do. Jesus says that we are called to live differently, to use our authority differently than the world does, to use our talents and gifts to serve our brothers and our sisters. And this is kind of just the last way that this plays out. Is I just want to ask you, what is your mindset too when you actually come into church, right? When you come into this fellowship of the saints, is it? Do we walk into church with the mindset of, man, I've had some serious alone time with God. I understand what He has done for me, so now I can serve other people? Or do we walk in here and think, Pastor, you better have a word for me. You better do something. Those donuts better be on point. And I don't know about that coffee. Is that aromas? What is that? Can we get Starbucks in here? I don't know. I like this. I like the coffee. Seriously, it's good. But do we walk in here and think, man, how can I serve? How can I make this place better? How can I use my talents and my abilities to serve the body? Or are we thinking, man, I want to be served. I'm coming in here to be served. And man, I understand that there's some of us in here that have been really hurt by other churches. That there is some serious pain in here. And I'm not naive. I mean, some of it is from City Life. I mean, we are not a perfect church. We have hurt and wounded people. And if we have not hurt and wounded you, just give us time. Okay? We will. You know, it's inevitable. And I want to say, if you've been hurt and you find yourself in here just trying to heal up, just trying to come back to a relationship with God and the church, then just hear me say this: rest as long as you need to. Sit there and let us serve you. Be here. This is a safe place to just heal up. But for those of us who aren't wounded, who are in a good place, that still just aren't serving, Jesus says to his disciples, listen, I've served you. I've washed your feet. I've cleansed your sins. And so now we are to serve other people. Jesus' service for us fuels our service for others. And so I want to show us this last command that Jesus gives us, right? But it comes with a promise, right? Jesus commands us to serve others because that's what he did, but he brings this and attaches this promise to it. Verse 15, he says this: "For I have given you this example," right? This is what we've been talking about, "that you should serve just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." If you know these things, what are these things? Well, it's everything we've been talking about, right? If you serve other people, you will be blessed if you do them. Service equals blessing. Jesus is saying, listen, the world has it wrong. Joy and happiness is not found in being served, but in serving. Deep, wonderful, joy-filled life is found in service. Now, I don't have to stand up here and try to convince anyone that it's nice to sit back on a couch, watch a game, and have your wife feed you Cheetos. It's awesome, right? Like, it's kind of nice. Golden State. Golden State. Get them. Game 7. It's nice. But listen, it's not deeply joyful. It is not incredibly satisfying. It is not deeply gratifying. It is just okay. You know what it is? Service. Jesus says you are blessed if you serve. And I've gotten to be a part of kind of the leadership team on this church, and so I've gotten to see this truth play out time and time again, that the servants in our church get incredible blessing. You know, I've gotten to see this kind of play out the most with our leaders in City Light High. I get to run kind of City Light High, and I have the best, I think, volunteers and leaders in the entire world. Get them. I'm telling you, I have the best ones in the world. And every Wednesday night, they come here to this building, and they serve. They pour their lives out for our high school students. And I just called a few of them this week, and I said, hey, what are some of the ways you've been blessed by serving with City Light High? Well, like how have you seen God move, and how have you received blessing from that? And they just said, most of them just said two things. They said, it's incredible to watch a student get the gospel, to watch the light bulb go on for the first time, and to say, oh my gosh, I can know God, I can have a relationship with Jesus. To watch students who come from these broken families and have no experience in church, no relationship with God, start to say, I want this. And to see family trees start to change, to see generations that'll be impacted because of what's happening. You know, it's incredible. And they say, we've been so blessed by that. And the second way we've just been incredibly blessed by serving is because of the community. You know, I was talking to one of our leaders named Carrie, and she was just saying, yeah, last night me and a bunch of the girls just went out and started just talking about life and our students. And I've got these kind of role models now that I can look up to that I'm serving with. And I'm like, that's incredible. So you're getting to watch the gospel impact lives, and you are getting to be impacted. Like, you're getting to have this incredible gospel community. You've been blessed. And man, I've been blessed because of City Light High. You know, three of the groomsmen in my wedding, I only met because of service in City Light High. Like, before City Light High, I did not know them. And now they're some of my absolute best friends. So some of the people that I've gotten to serve with have just given me an incredible community. You know, I called up one other guy who I just thought, man, this guy serves. He is just an animal. His name is Ross Rogers, and he started coming to City Light Benson back in January. And I've really never seen anything like it. From the first day he got here, he was just like, man, how can I serve? How can I serve this church? I want to be a blessing here. And so he got on the cleaning team and just started mopping. I mean, you'll see him mopping and sweeping these floors just about every other week. And I just said, I called him up. I said, Ross, man, tell me about some of the blessings you've got. How have you been blessed by serving at City Light? And he just went off for like 45 minutes, man. He's like, dude, you know, I got a family now. I have a second family is what it feels like. He said, I met dudes like Zach and David and Kyle and Andy, and I've been able to be real with those guys, and they have helped me let my guards down. And now they're the ones that I call when I need advice. They're the ones that I ask counsel from. And he actually texted me just this morning, and he said this. He said, dude, just tell them this. He says that this church and service has helped me make these lifelong friends and brothers in Christ. And I said, dude, that's just awesome. You know, so dude, is serving hard? Yeah, sometimes. It does it take energy, and is it sometimes stressful? Yeah, it is. But is it worth it? Jesus says you'll be blessed. And there are people in our church that will testify to that. And so, listen, I know a ton of you guys in this room are serving, right? You're on 2 and 3 serving teams. You sing in the band, and you also, you know, pass out donuts, and that's awesome. You know, if that's you, then I'm not talking to you for the rest of the time. You're doing awesome. You might not actually have to step down a little bit. But for those of us that aren't, I just want to talk to you for a second. If I'm going to ask you this question, are you serving? And if you're not, why not? Why not? Is it because you don't know where you're good at or what your giftings are? Listen, that's the best thing about community. You know, you just jump in and try something, and we'll tell you if you're bad at it. Really, we will. If you can't make coffee, I'll tell you you can't make coffee. It's bad. If you hate high school kids, well, don't come back. It's okay. You know, you don't have to be great at everything. But I would like to challenge you. I'd like to challenge you today. Like I said, like Tyler said, JD's going to be kind of walking around with a clipboard. I would like you just to, in this moment, like as we about to transition into songs, think about, pray about, ask God, hey, where would you have me serve? Where could I use my talents, my gifts, my abilities to serve and honor this church? Listen, a couple of the areas that are just very, very practically where we could use just people who want to serve is the first one is actually with City Light, with City Light High. Like we're having just this summer a bunch of transition, and a lot of our leaders are moving and going different places or stepping down from ministry. So if you want to see what that looks like to serve high school students, to love them and appoint them to Jesus, you know, shoot me an email. Saddle up, get them, bro. You know, shoot me an email, and well, I'd love to talk with you about what that looks like. Okay, and just a couple other places that we really, really, really need people to serve is one is in the kids ministry. You know, they make disciples of Jesus back there. We're not babysitting kids. What we're trying to do is raise up the next generation of Christ followers. And that is a big deal. Our volunteers do an incredible job of discipling kids, and they would love for you to be in on that. For you to get to serve and the next generation of Christ followers. And kind of the last one that we just want to highlight is actually like the cleaning team that Ross and Alyssa and Lindsay and David and Kyle all lead. They've done a phenomenal job of that. And so, guys, would you do something for me? If at the end of this service you don't know where you want to serve, this week when we're praying, when if you decide to fast with us, would you ask God, hey, where could I serve? Where could I be a blessing for our church? Where could I use what you've done, the talents that you've given me? Where can I use those to be a blessing? Now, City Light, I don't want to guilt trip anyone. I'm not trying to guilt anyone into serving, right? That's not good for anyone. That's not good for our church, right? The fuel for our service should always be gratitude out of what Jesus has done for us. It has to be rooted in the gospel. It has to be. And so if it's not, I mean, we're just going to get burned out and bitter and just leave the church. But if our fuel for serving is what Christ has done for us, and that turns into our service of other people, we will be blessed and we will be a blessing to other people. I never want us to forget that we serve other people because we serve a God who loved and served us. We've been saved by a God who poured himself out by coming to this world, dying for us, serving us, and that is our fuel for how we serve others. Would we be a church, guys, that is captured by the love of Christ, by the service of his son? And would we use that to serve others? We serve because Christ has served us. May we never forget that. I'm gonna pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for your service, for your gospel, for coming down and dying for us. Lord, we love you. We want to reflect you more. God, would you put it in our hearts, the truth that we have been saved, we have been washed, we have been set apart by you so that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, would we be a serving church? Would we be a church that has been saved, set apart, so that we can be a blessing to the nations and to each other? Lord, we ask these things in your precious name, we pray.